Is there anyone that would like to volunteer to do the opening prayer this morning? Do we have any volunteers?
I'll do it,
Lieutenant? Absolutely.
Father, we thank you for this day.
If you would bow with me. Father God, we come to you today just thanking you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity to be present in Commissioner's Court this morning. We thank you for each and every one that's serving on this court. God, I pray for godly wisdom. I pray for discernment. I pray for a spirit that of servant. And God, we thank you for each and every one of them. We just lift them up to you. Ask that you be with them, that you lead and guide in every decision that they make. God, we thank you most of all for the cross and the blood shed and the promise of eternity with you. And we just ask that you forgive us where we fail. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. If you'd join me in our United States and Texas flag pledges, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor
the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
All right, let the record reflect that all members of the court are present today. We need a motion to approve our Commissioner's Court agenda today.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. Employee of the month for March 2016. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Katie Merman. I am the recognition coordinator for the Montgomery County Employees Committee. I'd like to thank you guys for allowing us to have the opportunity to recognize our employees. Today we're going to be presenting March, and for that I would like to have Evelyn Park come up.
This month, Employee of the Month, Amy Goodry. She is my right-hand person. She has been there for 21 years, and she is... couldn't make it without her. She's awesome. Had to do a lot of lying this morning to get her here. So, anyway, I just want to thank you, Amy, for all that you do for us in the Sheriff's Department.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Amy. All right. Item 7B, Children's Safe Harbor. You're not going to make us cry again today, are you?
No.
It could happen.
Yeah, it could. I'm going to say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
National Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month.
Good morning.
Thank you.
In National Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, I have my wonderful partner, Ann McAlpin, here.
Good morning.
Who is the director of CASA, and one of our family advocates, Megan Quinn. Licensed master social worker who helps with our families, collecting them all and making sure that they have what they need as the children come through the harbor. So, do I have the grace to read this, sir,
Absolutely.
Or do you read it?
Absolutely.
Okay,
go ahead.
Awesome.
Please.
So, there's this beautiful moment where we do this conversation with you, and we really appreciate, while there are many other of our children's programs not able to attend this morning, they're named here at the bottom as well. Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month, April 2016. Whereas every child deserves to grow up in a safe, loving, permanent home where his or her physical, emotional, and educational needs are fully met, thereby giving the child an opportunity to realize his or her full potential and Whereas preventing child abuse and neglect is a community problem that depends upon the education and involvement of people from every sector of the community. And whereas in 2015, every 8 minutes, a child in Texas was the subject of abuse and neglect. Whereas in 2015, the child population of Texas was 141,316, and in 2015, 2,729 children were referred in Montgomery County for child abuse investigations. And whereas in 2015, there were 171 child abuse-related fatalities in Texas, 13 of which were here in our county, where even one child's death is too many. And that, as well, in 2015, 47,348 children in Texas, including 568 in Montgomery County, were in the care and custody of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services because of the evidence of abuse and neglect. And whereas a child's journey in the child protection system can be an extremely frightening, confusing, and traumatic experience for a child who has been removed from his or her home and placed with strangers, often in a different county, away from their school, their friends, their place of worship, and the only life they've ever known. And whereas the impact of abuse and neglect has long-term personal, economic, and social costs, therefore hurting not only the child's future, but also Texas and Montgomery County's future. And whereas Angel Reach, Arrow, Buckner, Children's Safe Harbor, CASA, Community Outreach Program, CPS, DePelchin, Love Fosters Hope, Montgomery County Child Protective Services Board, Montgomery County Youth Services, Orphan Care Network and Orphan Care Solutions, foster parents, teachers, and others that are in this room as well help to support and ensure that children in our community have the opportunity to grow up in a safe, loving, permanent home. Therefore, be it resolved, the Montgomery County's Commissioner Court hereby proclaims April Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month in 2016 and commends the above for their commitment and dedication to the prevention and mitigating of the devastating effects of abuse and neglect for the children who've been victimized. We further call upon all of our citizens, because the children are all ours, community agencies, faith groups, schools, government agencies, and businesses, to increase their participation in efforts to support families and prevent child abuse, and partner with our local organizations supporting children in foster care through investigations, thereby strengthening our entire community.
Tori, thank you. Do we have a motion, Commissioners?
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Victoria, thank you for the job that you do. I don't know how you do it, honestly, but we appreciate the fact that you do, and all the organizations that were mentioned, for the effort for the children
in
this community.
So
thank you.
So very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I believe I'm still on the agenda for this question. Is that correct? May I be?
Go ahead. Sure.
Awesome. Last year, you allowed us this fabulous public awareness opportunity, which was to put a pinwheel along this beautiful sidewalk here. We would like to do that again on April 26th, your last meeting of the month. We will put them up for a day, and we will take them down, and we will represent for each pinwheel 966 children that moved through Children's Safe Harbor last year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Very good. We have permission?
Move.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Motion
thank
carries.
You so
thank
very
you,
much.
Victoria, again, for what
thank you,
do.
Victoria.
Blessings. Bless you all. Thank you.
7C, Child Abuse Awareness and Prevention Month. Is that all covered in the same thing? Okay. D, Montgomery County Telecommunications Week.
Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
I'm here this morning to ask that you sign a proclamation, if you will, recognizing the telecommunicators of Montgomery County, specifically the Sheriff's Office, during this week when they're recognized nationally. And as you know, with the population growth and the crime growth and that kind of thing, and I know that's not necessarily a popular thing to say, but it happens. And our telecommunicators are very dedicated. They are the true first responders. They're the first person that
someone gets when they call 911 or the non-emergency number. So if I may, I'd like to read the proclamation, and then afterwards you guys sign it. Whereas thousands of dedicated public safety telecommunication personnel daily serve the nation by answering the 911 calls for police, fire, emergency, medical services, and dispatching the appropriate assistance as quickly as possible. And whereas the critical function performed by the professional public safety telecommunications personnel also include those related to other governmental agencies providing public safety telecommunications services. And whereas professional public safety telecommunication personnel work to enhance the emergency response capabilities of these communication systems through their leadership and participation in training programs and other activities. And whereas the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office employs 50 telecommunicators that work multiple shifts, including weekends, nights, holidays, and overtime, making emergency services available to all citizens of Montgomery County. And whereas the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office telecommunications personnel provided emergency response for the Sheriff's Office and 32 other police agencies within Montgomery County by making and receiving 638,000 calls in 2015. And whereas the ladies and gentlemen that work as telecommunications personnel deeply care for their community and the welfare of the police officers that they serve, and whereas the second week of April has been designated by the Association of Public Safety Communications Officers and the National Emergency Number Association to recognize public safety telecommunications personnel for their crucial role in protecting life and property. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, does hereby proclaim that the week of April 10th through the 16th, 2016, is hereby declared Montgomery County Telecommunicators Week.
Move.
Second.
Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please pass our appreciation along to all those folks, too. Montgomery County United Way. Good morning.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners, and thank you for allowing me to be here today. My name is Nicole Robinson Gauthier with Montgomery County United Way. I realize that you are very used to seeing a different face at this podium every year, but I want to make sure that you realize that Montgomery County is still represented with United Way. And I'm going to go ahead and talk about one of the things you probably have the biggest question on is the merger. Montgomery County United Way is now a part of United Way of Greater Houston. But I am here to tell you that you do have a local office, you still have local staff, and the funds that are raised that you so generously allow us to raise with your employees and all across the county will be used here in Montgomery County. So thank you for allowing you to be here today, and we have a resolution honoring the volunteers who make the work that we do possible. You heard from one of our partners already this morning, Dr. Victoria Constance, and she named off a number of organizations that United Way partners with. So we appreciate your support in that, and we want to honor the volunteers now who help make all that possible. So the resolution is for Montgomery County United Way Volunteer Appreciation Day 2016. Whereas Montgomery County United Way is a local nonprofit whose mission is to improve lives by mobilizing the caring power of community. And whereas Montgomery County United Way encourages all residents of Montgomery County to give, advocate, and volunteer to help strengthen the community and create lasting change and achieve community-level impact for all residents. And whereas Montgomery County United Way promotes volunteerism through a countywide website, helpourcounty.org, that is used to easily match volunteers with opportunities posted by local nonprofits, organizations, even during times of natural disaster. Whereas Montgomery County United Way leverages the talent and time of local volunteers to address the most pressing needs in Montgomery County in the areas of education, financial independence, and health and wellness. And whereas in 2015, Montgomery County United Way coordinated hundreds of Day of Caring projects with 2,331 volunteers, resulting in 12,358 volunteer hours, and collecting in-kind donated goods, helping close to 2,000 residents in need. Whereas Montgomery County United Way's volunteer board of directors are strategic, conscientious, and thoughtful stewards of investor contributions. Whereas Montgomery County United Way volunteers evaluate and recommend funding for programs operated by local nonprofit organizations, which improve a significant number of lives in Montgomery County. And whereas Montgomery County United Way proudly recognizes Jim Larson as their Volunteer of the Year for 2015, honoring his many years of service on various committees, councils, and the Board of Directors. Now, therefore, be it resolved that in recognition of the value volunteers bring to the quality of life for residents of Montgomery County through Montgomery County United Way, the Commissioners Court of Montgomery County declare May 3rd as Montgomery County United Way Volunteer Appreciation Day, with all invited to join us at lunchtime celebration on the courthouse steps that day.
Thank you.
Nicole, thank you.
I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? Just real quickly, if we make donations to the United Way, as the county has in the past, and we can specifically request that they stay in Montgomery County, is that true?
Yes, you don't even have to request it.
It will
all funds raised in Montgomery County by Montgomery County organizations will automatically, by default, stay in Montgomery County. And if anything happens other than that, you call me directly.
Great. Cool. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Commissioners, we need a motion to approve our minutes from March 22nd.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Under the consent agenda, commissioners, only have one item requested to be moved. That's item 9D34 on page 7 to be moved to the open agenda. Other than that, unless there are changes that you would like to see, entertain a motion on our consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Let's go ahead and take 9D on 9037 on page 7. Approve granting a discretionary exemption for professional service as authorized by local government code 262.024 from Katie Crabb, DMV, for consulting services to the animal shelter and animal shelter director for creation and implementation of revised health and welfare practices at the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. Do you have a motion on that?
I move.
Second.
So I have a motion and a second. Questions or comments?
Jim, what is the purpose of this professional services agreement?
Well, basically, I mean, she's going to work together with our new director to create protocols, and she's been very instrumental in doing a lot of this. She's stuck with us for, I guess, probably 90 to 120 days when we didn't have anybody there, taking on the role and was able to keep the shelter up and going, and we've had the euthanasia rates go down, and basically we're just going to pay her moving forward to help get some of these protocols and stuff in place.
But she also has a contract for $500 a day.
Right.
So
instead of going home, she's going to continue to stay and work some additional time to cover some of these things that we need to put in place.
Do you have any idea how many days that would be?
Yep.
Contract is what?
Limited to 120 days and not to exceed $10,000.
There's a not to exceed $10,000, okay, and a limit of 120 days on it.
And why, I mean, when I look at the Schedule A for the contract and read that Dr. Crabb, DMV, will provide professional consulting services requested by the animal shelter director, including creating and implementing revised health and welfare practices at the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. Why can't the new animal shelter director do that? I mean, we're paying him $140,000 a year. I don't understand why we need to pay her an additional $10,000.
I mean, she has a certain skill set that she brings to the table, and you know, I think it's the right thing to do for the animals to go ahead and get to fast track. We've had some problems with some disease outbreaks and some concern from the public, and we want to go ahead and get these protocols and stuff in place at the same time while Dr. Hayden is working on the volunteers and foster handbooks and protocol. I mean, it's an overwhelming, we've been floating along on a cloud for, you know, months, and I mean, it's now time to put things in gear and get things done. I need all hands on deck.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and basically, she did it for 4 months for free. Didn't ask for anything. She, you know, was working from long days to make this happen. And I just feel like it's the right thing to do. If she's going to help us get this done, she needs to be compensated for it.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion passes. All right. Let's see now to the open agenda.
Doug, would you like to take the, we have a canine in the room. Sometimes you, would you like to take that item?
Yeah, why don't we do that first so we can get the dogs back.
Did we move on the consent?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. What item is that, Amy?
14A.
Let's go ahead and take item 14A so we can, under the district attorney. Galligan.
She came back. She's outside the door there.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Well, as you notice, Chaco doesn't like taxes. That's why, why Chaco was growling, barking over there. First, want to introduce Ranger. Ranger is one of our service dogs. Ranger's been with the DA's office for about 4 years. And in a little bit of truthfulness, Ranger's Facebook has more likes than my Facebook. Ranger has a lot less enemies. Ben Field says, you know, you should never follow a dog or a kid. And I happen to be sitting by two dogs and a kid. Luckily, JD balanced it out, though, with taking the age spectrum the other way. So thank you, JD. I appreciate that. We also have Chaco. Chaco has come to us from the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. He is a service dog. The approximate value of Chaco is $45,000. And Chaco had another life envisioned for him. But Chaco has a greater love for cats than he did for his individual master. And so Chaco has been changed over for a service animal for us. And as those of you, particularly Dr. Constance, knows, what we do with the service dogs are they're victim-oriented. And so the case law allows us to have them go into court. And so oftentimes when you have child victims testify, either Ranger or Chaco is allowed to sit there in the witness stand. The jury is removed long before the animal comes in, so the jury does not ever see either Chaco or Ranger. And so they sit there, and so the child can have tactile stimulation, can pet. It just kind of helps relieve the anxiety of the testimony. As you know, if you've ever testified in court, it can be a very nerve-wracking experience, particularly for a child who's there to testify about something that's happened to them. Just to kind of let you know where we are in the last 10 months, our continuous sexual abuse cases, we've had 10 of those. Aggravated sexual assault of a child, we've had 33 of those. Sexual assault of a child, 56 cases. Indecency with a child is 50 cases. And I know that we continue to see over 100 victims a month over at Children's Safe Harbor alone. We've also allowed Chaco and Ranger to be used. Several of the courts will use them on something that's non-criminal related. Most recently, we had a parent-child exchange, and the judge, family law judge, was aware of some tension between the husband and the wife, and so they asked for Ranger to be there to kind of help the process along. So we're very proud of the work that the two animals do. Like I said, in the fact that Chaco is one of our own, raised right here in Montgomery County. He's a rescue animal. And like I said, the value of him is $45,000. But to get into the law of it, and what I'd like to do is defer section, what I'd like to do is do B before A, but just to finish up with Chaco, the FLSA says that a dog handler has to be compensated. And so every dog handler in the county, whether a bomb dog, a drug dog, or what have you, the owner has to be compensated under the FLSA just to avoid litigation later on. And these ladies, like any other dog handler, they take the dogs home with them at night. Jocelyn volunteered to take Chaka home. Now, Jocelyn's not married yet, doesn't have children of her own, and she's now married and has a kid all the time. So it's been a huge undertaking for her. She's jumped right in with it. And, you know, much respect to her, because just to take on an animal that has to be with you 24 hours a day is a huge undertaking. But with the court's permission, I'd rather take up B first, and then I'll explain why,
sure,
if possible.
Sure.
What we've done is, when we started to go to the consolidated computer system, Tyler Odyssey, well, the courts have Odyssey, law enforcement has Spillman, or at least the Sheriff's Department and Kano PD have Spillman, slightly different versions. But we advised the court all along that our office was going to be the friction point between what the courts do and what law enforcement does. And so there has to be an area within the county where all those systems come together, and it's at the district attorney's office. Because of that, we had a system to where only misdemeanors were filed one way and felonies were filed another way. Long before I became the DA, the county attorney's office, and long before JD came along, handled all the misdemeanor work in the county, and the district attorney's office handled just felonies. And so when those duties were passed over to the DA's office, the office was never merged. And so when I took over, we merged legal staff and we merged the attorneys to where we're horizontally integrated. And so they come in and it will flow back and forth between felonies and misdemeanors. An intake never was. We had a lady there by the name of Trish Bedone, who just retired, 30 years of service. Had lunch with her last week. Trish was the misdemeanor division chief, misdemeanor intake chief. With Trish retiring, we took the opportunity to integrate all of our felonies and misdemeanors. That way there's just one intake, and so people are cross-trained. And because of that, we took Trish's salary and closed her position down as a supervisor of misdemeanor. And so we're going to back hire her with a legal one, but because we've created a supervisor role over all of intake, we're asking, and I'll read it out for the record, closed position 4351-77063, open position 4351-39959, closed position 4351-77064, open position 4351, the admin manager, that's the manager now over all of intake, transfer $38,000 from 4351, which is Trish's old position, to fund the new legal assistant, 4351-39959, transfer $58,000 from 4351-77064 to 4351-8550, transfer $62,276.74 from 4351-7706 to 8550, and then transfer $6,003 from 4351-7706 to 4351-77062, the paralegal board certification. We're asking that the county recognize the board certification of the paralegal. So that would have ultimately had me returning $8,500 to y'all. And then a couple of the commissioners said, hey, instead of asking for contingency for A, for the FLSA required stipend, their thought was, the commissioners' thoughts were, to request 4351-77063, transfer $6,500 to 4351-7610-3, which is Jocelyn's position. So instead of me giving back $8,507.76, I'd be giving back $2,007.76 with the court's permission.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye. Brett,
aye.
Motion carries.
Great job.
Is Chaco available for us from time to time?
Absolutely. I will tell you that.
Very good.
You, I know what y'all do is not easy, and it's stressful. Some of the unintended consequences of when Ranger and Chaco walk down the hall, you know, you think they're for the victims, and it's every prosecutor, every investigator, and every legal secretary come out, and it's the stress relief on them as well. So whenever y'all want to come over to the DA's office, I'll make them available.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good deal.
All right.
All right. We have now a citizen's comment. if you have an item that you would like to address this court about that's on today's agenda, we will allow you 3 minutes. Let me read this brief statement. We will now invite the public for comments on items on today's court agenda. Please state your name and the topic of your comments before beginning your remarks. Public comment may not exceed 3 minutes, and questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials involved. The Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comments. So if there's anyone who would like to address the court today, I know we have four who have signed up. The first one I have is Mr. Bill O'Sullivan.
Good morning, everybody. Congratulations to Commissioner Metter and Commissioner Nowak on the recent primary election.
Thank you.
First thing I want to bring up is on the discretionary exemption for professional service. The first two on Copperhead Road, we recently had a thing about getting advice, etc., going to the county attorney, and I think the number was $500,000. Now, I know this has been broken up into two places, but it has a bad appearance on that basis, and I think you would be wise that if a job is $500,000 or greater, that it go through that process. And it seems that this job on that road is $650,000 roughly, and I think it would be wise to go through the process, which was set up recently, which I think was probably more related to the election than anything else, but I think that would be a wise thing to look into. The second thing, I want to compliment you on going ahead with the interlocal agreement on the mobility plan for Montgomery. As you know, I've been an advocate of this for a while. I've met with you, and I've told you this a few times, but this is not only for here. I think you need to take a look at Magnolia with all the things that are going on over there, and the building that's going to go on as a result of roads coming in, as well as what's going on between Central Park in Conroe up to Willis with the Hughes Landing. And I think mobility plans should be put in the pipeline if you don't have the money to do them now, and get the local and the HGAC involved in both of them, because I think they're important for us. If we're going to grow to 1 million people by 2030, that's only 14 years away. And that's a lot of roads and a lot of planning that has to occur. And we already acknowledge we're well behind. But again, compliments on proceeding with mobility for Montgomery, and let's move forward. Thank you.
Mr. O'Sullivan. The next person that I have signed up to speak is Tina Quinn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Haven't been here in a while, so my name is Tina Quinn, and I am a volunteer both with Montgomery County and with Smart Rescue, Local Rescue, and I'm talking today about Montgomery County Animal Shelter. I first would like to ask everybody that's here regarding the county shelter to raise their hand so y'all understand the impact of what this is to our community. Many of us had high hopes when the county took over control of MCAS and removed CareCorps as a management company. We thought we were going from a nightmare into the light. When Dr. White was hired as the new director, it was like a dream come true. Dr. White truly is highly qualified and experienced. When he left, after working only 11 days, it was devastating. We had only imagined getting a better director that amazing, and to have it dangled in front of us and taken away was horrible. We realized it was his decision, but it still impacted all of us. Commissioner Clark assured everyone that the nationwide search would be reopened and we would find a qualified candidate. Reopening this search means it had once been open, which is not true. No nationwide search was ever done, but we hoped one would finally take place. No, not so. Dr. Hayden, a local veterinarian who has worked at MCAS on and off for 3 years, volunteered for the job and was hired. No search was done at all. While I'm sure Dr. Hayden has some satisfied clients, his qualifications for running a fairly large county shelter do not exist. Combine this with the sudden firing of 8 key employees, based on apparently on something to do with political jockeying, which has been going on forever. What exactly does this mean, and is it even legal to fire people for political jockeying? I'm sure we can, and we'll find out that answer. According to Commissioner Clark, the job of running MCAS was more than what Dr. White wanted to take on, so how is hiring someone with less experience and fewer qualifications a good plan? It appears the direction the shelter is now taking is Target Zero. Target Zero aims to get shelters to 90% or greater save rate. Just prior to Dr. Hayden taking over, with no director, the shelter managed to pull off an 84% live release rate. If we can do that with good employees and volunteers working together with no director, imagine what we can do with a great director. Most directors would be thrilled to inherit such a dedicated people and such success. Dr. Hayden chose to get rid of people who made this happen. Not only that, he refused to allow one of the employees into the shelter to volunteer. That's rather interesting. She was fired because of restructuring and some sort of political jockeying. Why is she not allowed to help at adoptions? She has foster animals through the county shelter. She's been a volunteer as well as an employee for many years. She knows the dogs. She knows how to handle the people and the adoption process. Not only was she not allowed in the shelter, she was told that she was actually that they were actually calling the police to have her removed from the property on Saturday. That sounds like a violation of Section 1983. We've been here before. Section 1983 has been tried in courts in regards to animal shelters, and it is a valid complaint. If this person is, we question whether we want him to continue running the shelter. We've been down this road. We don't want to go down it again. We're tired, but we will continue to fight for our shelter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Quinn. The next person I have signed up to speak is Jacqueline Schmidt. Jacqueline Schmidt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jocelyn Schmidt. It's come to our attention recently that Target Zero, or at least parts of Target Zero, are being put into place via MCAS, Montgomery County Animal Shelter. While many of us in the animal welfare community are very interested in the things that Target Zero offers, such as lower euthanasia rate and a community cat program, there is some concern that the community cat program is being implemented without the proper steps as recommended by both TZ, which is Target Zero, and Alley Cat Allies. Per the information on both websites, local ordinances must be examined and potentially changed and or removed, and the public must be educated on the program and how it works. Cats coming into MCAS, turned in by the public as strays, were fixed, which is great, and released back where they were found by OPA and TLC volunteers. Approximately 25 cats were released back at the addresses they came from. Without educating the public first, these cats are potentially in danger. If they were turned in as strays already and they reappear with no warning, what will the residents do now? Poisoning, shooting, hauling into the woods, and dumping them, those are a few things that come to mind. And I'm not saying that to be dramatic. This is what we see and deal with on a regular basis. Per Alley Cat Allies, when combined with public education, feral free-roaming cat populations can be reduced over time. While feral cats can be released as soon as they have recovered from anesthesia, did these cats really have to be released the same day as surgery? They had all been housed in the shelter prior to surgery anyway, so why not monitor for a day or two and make sure no complications occurred? We already know of a recent surgery done at MCAS where a dog bled out and died in the adopter's home post-surgery, so brief monitoring seems reasonable, as well as when combined with public education. We seem to have skipped that part. It would probably be best to approach this in a not-so-backwards manner, right? In Washington, D.C., there is a community cat program. This program not only assists with the trapping and sterilizing of feral cats, but also runs community meetings to educate citizens about feral cats and works with specific neighborhoods to create a TNR program, trap, neuter, return, appropriate for them. Per the TLC website, Stray Cat Return Program, San Antonio and other communities have implemented a huge stray cat program where cats who are turned into the shelter are fixed and returned to the community. We first need to update the ordinances in Harris and Montgomery counties. You will see lots more on this shortly. But TLC is already taking cats from the county and releasing them where they were found. Why is the county releasing cats without what appears to be a key ingredient to success, public education, and participation? My other issue, too, is, you know, we say feral cats a lot, but we really need somebody implemented at the shelter that is can basically differentiate between feral and not feral.
Ms. Schmidt, thank you for your comments. Next person signed up to speak is Sheila Cox.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Sheila Cox, also commenting on Montgomery County Animal Shelter, basically reading into record the letter that I sent to you gentlemen with a few amendments. A week ago, I was just saying how awesome things were going at MCAS. The team were getting things done. Karen was beginning to work on volunteer coordinator plan and getting volunteers trained. Corey had the puppies and dogs in a program that kept them healthy for fosters and adopters. Minda was in her groove and was rocking out the animals to rescues who had previously been alienated. Jacqueline had worked through her foster list and was just about up to date with everyone. And then Wednesday happened. We're all heartbroken. I wonder if our commissioners actually want dissension. Does Mr. Clark actually think for a minute that he has acted in the best interest of the shelter, its staff, its volunteers, and the animals? I've heard and seen him talk out of both sides of his mouth. I've heard him make promises that were never fulfilled. And now this debacle with Dr. Hayden. I do not know Dr. Hayden very well, even though I've fostered 37 puppies and two adult dogs since September. He has not been very visible to me as a foster. Dr. Crabb, that's another issue, and she is very deserving of the money that she's getting. I do know that Dr. Hayden's stitches had come undone in a couple of my fosters and had to be repaired at their own local vet. Mr. Clark said that we now need all hands on deck. So, how is Dr. Hayden able to fire all the staff members who have done so much to turn the shelter into a healthy, clean, welcoming place, which was doing so well with their live release rates? Aren't these same people invaluable to the county for the welfare of our animals? I and so many others just don't get it. I'm tired of the drama that seems to happen when Mr. Clark makes a knee-jerk reaction and a decision about its so-called welfare for the shelter. It was bad enough with the news of Dr. White giving up after such excitement of his coming on board. Dr. White knew the value of these people. Dr. White came with a proven track record with years of shelter director experience. Yet Dr. Hayden is making more money than Dr. White was offered. This is an outright slap in the face for me as a county taxpayer, as a pet owner, and as a longtime shelter volunteer. For the past 8 years, I've been going in on Tuesdays to volunteer, but as you can see today, I'm not in my shelter scrubs because today I just really don't feel like going in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cox, thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? And we've got quite a long agenda, so if we're going to repeat some same information, we appreciate your concerns, but if you have something different to add,
Hi.
Please go ahead.
Good I'm Laura McConnell. I'm with Lone Star Animal Welfare League. I have a few questions. Of course, I'm a taxpayer in Montgomery County. I've been in the animal welfare area for quite a long time. Our group started in 2004, and we've probably given about $300,000 to the shelter. We built a dog park. We're very concerned with the welfare of the shelter. I am concerned about the termination. I don't know what cause there was for these eight employees that I know put. I know four of the employees. I can't say I know all of them, but I know four of the employees, and I know they have a big heart for the animals. I know that they were doing good work from what everything I've heard. I'm concerned about a few things with hiring in this county for an animal shelter director. I am concerned, one, that we failed with Care Corporation at Montgomery County Animal Shelter. That's one. I don't feel that they were properly interviewed, and we didn't know exactly what their past was. We didn't know. It wasn't an HR. I don't think it was a successful HR situation. Secondly, Dr. White was a godsend, okay? Everybody was excited about that. I feel that he was let down. I feel that he was not given, and I spoke to Dr. White. The promises that he was given were not kept. That's why he left after, 9 days? That's an abysmal situation for Montgomery County. Terrible. We had a good chance to get a great director in, and we failed. Why did we fail? I'd like to know if mistakes from the past are being corrected. If Dr. Hayden what are the requirements for a new director? What are the requirements for Dr. Hayden? How much time is he to give to this shelter? I want to know, as a Montgomery County taxpayer, is he being told, you need to show up 40 hours a week? We know that there was conflict with Care Corporation employees, Dr. Ross and Dr. Blue. They had another business to attend to. Dr. Hayden has other businesses in this county that he is attending to. Is his primary focus Montgomery County Animal Shelter? That is what I want to know as a taxpayer. Are we paying him for a 40-hour week? That means sick clinics that need to be given. That means all the time that he needs to give to this county. That's my problem with this situation. I would like to know. The ventilation system, that was supposed to be corrected in January, I thought. We are continuing to have sickness at that shelter. We're always going to have sickness at that shelter if that is not fixed. And if there's not a ventilation system per room,
McConnell,
that stops spreading disease around the shelter.
McConnell, your time is up.
Sorry.
Your time is up. I apologize, but your 3 minutes has expired.
Is that going to happen? Great. It needs to happen, and it should have happened sooner in the cool weather.
Ms. McConnell, thank you. But please give me a call or Commissioner Clark a call after court. I'd be glad to visit with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I hope that whoever...
Ms. McConnell, your 3 minutes has expired.
I'm sorry?
Your 3 minutes has expired.
I have?
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to be real quick. I'm Dina Sellens. I'm the Executive Director for Texas Litter Control. I talked to Dr. Hayden before he took the position, and I told him I thought it was a bad idea because he is a veterinarian, and that I thought part of the problem with the way the shelter was being run is that the veterinarians were drugged too much into the daily operations, or the vetting part of the shelter, and not the daily operations. And I told him, in my opinion, as an executive, you have to stay out of the daily routine, the nitty-gritty, to be successful. If you want to be the director, you need to be the director. The fact that he's asking for Dr. Crabb's help in the capacity that he is tells me he's serious about being the director of the shelter, okay? He's asked me for some help. We are actually donating free vet services to the county right now to get some of the animals fixed before they go out. As far as the community cats program, there actually is coverage in the ordinance for clipped ear cats. And for the record, we have not released anybody the day of surgery. I'm a crazy cat lady, and we are holding the animals the proper amount of time, and we're returning them to the correct address. I've been doing TNR for 17 years, and it does work. And if anybody has any questions about Texas Litter Control, I would appreciate not a whole lot of crazy discussion in private chat rooms on Facebook. I would really hope the community would call me, ask for my help. For the record, it's going to be on the internet. My cell phone number is 713-822-4368. Call me, call me, call me. We'll be happy to have you out. Thanks.
One more. Yes, ma'am.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning. I'm glad to be following Dina because I would like to address a page on her website, a direct quote. Dr. Todd Hayden, DVM, has accepted the position of director mid-March. We are 100% behind Dr. Hayden. We're hoping the commissioners, Jim Clark, give him the tools he needs to turn the shelter around. He is going into a horrible position in one of the worst shelters. How does she gauge that that's the worst shelter? Without a director, that team, if they would all raise their hands, had an 84% live release rate. How is that a worse shelter? Can I put my application in to be director of the shelter? Because it doesn't seem to be vetted very well. And Dina, I'd like to know how you deemed that a worse shelter. Thank you.
Thank you. Simon, is it an item related to an item on today's agenda? We'll have a time for comments on non-agenda related items after we get to the agenda. All right. I assume that's all that have comments for today. Let's move forward then. Item 11A, Sheriff.
Morning, Judge Commissioners. On 11A, ask you consider and approve the following position change effective April 23, 2016, transfer all associated salary and benefits to the new position. Close 5601-5903-46, Deputy Patrol. Open 5601-6005-27, Sergeant Patrol. Transfer $12,365.34 from 5601-3903-600, Temp Data Clerk, to 5601-6005-27, Sergeant Patrol.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Constable Precinct 1. Not here. Commissioner, you want to take that one?
Consider and approve the purchase of a narcotic detection dog, funding to be through Department Asset Forfeiture Funds in partnership with Willis ISD. Willis ISD agrees to pay staff and veterinary expense, and they're splitting the cost of the dog. So I move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. Mr. Constable, Precinct 5. Condolences on your recent loss, but congratulations in your new position.
Thank you, sir. 13A is going to consider and approve the payout of Chief Deputy Wood in the amount of $13,188.19, and please name a funding source.
Move.
Second.
Contingency.
Out of contingency, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Chief.
Okay, we're taking care of 1415. Ms. McCray.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Item 15A, consider and approve notification of default with 30 days to cure under the tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Frock, which is Forest Ridge Office Condominiums.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay. 15B, consider and take appropriate action on First Amendment to tax abatement agreement between Montgomery County and Energy Alloys, LLC.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments?
Is this one we discussed?
Yes. It's just a slight change in the way we calculate the employee count. No change to the term.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion
Thank
carries.
You.
Okay,
16.
Thanks.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners. I'm asking to defer this item.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. All right. 17. County Auditor.
The first item before you is a request to readdress an item that came in March. That item in March was to name a funding source for the airport's master plan agreement. We'd like you to name as a funding source the unexpended funds from other projects that maybe came in under budget. So right now we have some funds that are left over from runway extension or a wildlife study. Excuse me. And we'd like to use those funds for this airport master plan agreement sponsor share instead of it, what y'all had named was the road bonds.
Okay.
I thought we did that last time.
Commissioner, you and I did discuss it, but it hasn't yet been to Commissioner's Court.
Okay. I move that we fund the remainder of the development plan with the funds that Phyllis just mentioned.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
The next item before you is related to the shelter at the budget for the animal shelter. We've looked at the expenses and the revenues that have come in. And at this time, what we would like is for you to allow us to recognize revenue that has come in at that shelter and that will continue to come in to fund the operations of the shelter, and then we will come back to you before the end of this quarter, which is the end of June, to address any shortage that might exist for the remainder of the year. But we believe if we can recognize those revenues, that will get the shelter through the end of June.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? And Phyllis, you'll kind of allocate those dollars as they come in and make sure we're on track.
Yes, sir. We'll put them into the operating lines where they're needed.
Okay. Great.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 18, Animal Shelter.
Okay, consider and approve the following position changes. Transfer $2,200 salary and benefits from position 6331-2711-600, pool kennel tech, to position 6331-2720-700, vet tech, effective 4/12/16. This will not increase the FY 2017 budget. I move.
Second.
Dr. Hayden is here. Did you want to make any comments, Dr. Hayden? Okay.
Basically, employee that, it, you know, was told when we were hired, if they, you know, worked the period of time, they'd be raised up at this time. So that's basically, they're actually probation 2 months overdue. They're out of the probationary period.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Purchasing.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. 19A, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiations process with the highest evaluated respondent for RFP lease and development of approximately 1.6-acre parcel of property for the Conroe North Houston Regional Airport with Great Land Holdings, Inc.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
B, take all appropriate action to approve granting a discretionary exemption for professional service as authorized by local government code 262.024A4 for engineering services and survey services for Precinct 2 for the following as stated on the agenda.
Move.
Second.
Second.
I just want to comment that I want to make sure everybody understands that all these projects have been looked at by the county attorney and the county engineer's office. They've been vetted and gone through the proper channels.
Sir.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item C, take all appropriate action to approve awarding RFP processing, printing, and mailing of jury summons to the highest evaluated respondent for the district clerk to Data Integrators, Inc. And this will be as a term contract.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Item D, take all appropriate action to approve the contract negotiation process with the highest evaluated respondent, Dunbar Armored, Inc., for an RFP Armored Transportation Services and Intellectual Safe Technology for various departments.
Move. Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
E, as authorized by local government code 271.102, take all appropriate action to approve the utilization of the contract for medium and heavy trucks and truck bodies from Houston Freightliners, Inc. through the interlocal agreement with HGAC and the purchase of one 2017 Freightliner and one 2,000-gallon asphalt distributor for a combined total of $181,303 for Precinct 1.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darlou. BD.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
At this point, we need to defer item 20A. We have a few minor changes from comments with the City of Montgomery, so we expect to present that next Commissioner's Court session.
Good.
So we'd ask you to defer that. 20B, 1, consider and approve order acknowledging receipt of a money order in amount of $50 for the lease of some flood mitigation properties. This is the annual lease amount.
Move. Are you going to take them all in?
I can take them all at one time.
Okay, go ahead.
B2 and B3 deal with the same thing, and actually there's a slight change. B3 is appoint an appraiser to appraise instead of a special commissioner to appraise. Items B2 and 3, pursuant to the transportation local government code, ask you to appoint a special commissioner to sell right-of-way, which we acquired, I believe it's back in the 70s. The road was never built. And the process is you appoint a special commissioner and you appoint an appraiser, then that property is sold to the adjoining landowner, and that's who is requesting this. The property is in the flood way. They have purchased the property at a tax sale. This road right-of-way runs right through the middle of their property. They want to be able to use the entire property. I've conferred with Precinct 4, and they have no objection. They have no plans to use that right-of-way or make it part of the county road maintenance system. And so the first step is to appoint both a special commissioner and an appraiser. An appraiser clearly needs to be an appraiser, certified appraiser. A special commissioner can either be an outside person or it can be a county employee.
Who would the judge or myself would appoint that person?
Commissioner's court appointed.
We'd come back and do that.
We'd like you to name somebody today. Like I said, for the special commissioner, it can either be a third party, or like when we sell floodplain properties, oftentimes it's somebody from our office. I've been named special commissioner several times to sell flood or lease flood properties. So if you want, you can name me or someone else, someone in Precinct 4 if you'd like. And then the appraiser, just one of the approved appraisers, Matt Whitney's name comes to mind.
Our recommendation would that you handle it, BD.
Okay.
I move on all three.
Second.
Questions or comments? Do you need an appraiser?
We
well
do need an appraiser.
Today?
Whitney and Associates.
Matt Whitney and Associates. Okay.
Amended the motion.
I amend that motion to include Whitney Associates be named the appraiser.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you,
BD. All right. We now need to recess our commissioner's court and convene a public hearing first in Precinct 1.
Consider approve establishing a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit on Giles Road and Amberwood Road. We have anybody here to discuss that this morning? Don't judge.
Okay. Precinct 2.
Consider approve establishing a 25-mile-an-hour speed limit on Baker Cemetery Road. Anyone here to discuss that?
Okay. Precinct 3.
Judge, we've got the request to install several signs along Waterway Square Place, right-only signs, do-not-enter signs, no-right-turn sign, and a left-turn-only sign. Anyone here to discuss?
Seeing none. Precinct 4.
Establish a one-way stop sign control at the eastbound Willoughby approach at Shire Road. Anyone here to discuss that?
I need to adjourn our public hearing and reconvene our commissioner's court. Take action on these items.
I move on all.
Or do we need action on these, actually, Amy, or are these just on all these? Okay.
Second.
Motion and second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Our commissioners, Precinct 1, Mr. Mayor.
Consider and approve opening position 612-8902, senior foreman and fund at $62,899, plus benefits annually effective April 12, 2016. Funding to come from line 612-7340. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Human Resources, Doty. Oh, whoops, skipped the page. Sorry about that. Precinct 2.
Okay, okay.
Precinct 2, Commissioner Riley.
He's almost through there for a minute.
I move.
I'm ready to go.
Consider approve the transfer of $1,500 salary from position 613.5602.1 to position 613.8008. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Accept request from Lori Baines to participate in the Adopt a County Road program. The roadway section she is interested in is adopting as Mail Route Road in Montgomery, Texas. I move.
Second. Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Consider and approve the following changes. Closed position 613-1602. Open position 613-2900-3. Transfer 23,864.34 to newly open position. Transfer 2,071.26 from 613-5602 to 613-2900-3. Transfer $903.50 from 613-5602 to 613-1602. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Open position 613-2900-600 and fund at 1,508 hours. Transfer the following amounts to the labor pool position as listed below. I move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Precinct 4, Commissioner.
Just
just for informational purposes, Judge, but present and discuss information on drug and medication take-back event scheduled at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the East Montgomery County Courthouse. It's a joint effort between the DEA, Constable Hayden's office, and my office. It's a big problem with young folks and teenagers going into their folks' medicine cabinet, getting out old drugs, and there's not really a good way to dispose of them properly. You don't want to put them in the landfill. You don't want to flush them down your sewage system and stuff like this. It's just a drug take-back program, and that is prescription drugs and illicit drugs. There'll be no questions asked. It's dropped into a container and disposed of properly by the DEA. So just good something deal. We got going on, and good. The whole county is welcome to participate.
Good program.
Good. Good. Information on our website.
Okay. We now need to recess our Commissioners' Court meeting and convene the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority. Under item 23A, consider and approve a change order number 1 to PO number 2015224 for Land Tech Consultants Incorporated to provide additional surveying services to provide an increase of $38,741.95, resulting in a new contract price of $306,846.26.
Yeah. Good morning. I was just going to inform you this was requested by engineering. It's been vetted by the engineering office and was put on under for the toll road, for the 249 toll
Perfect.
Road.
Move. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? Commissioners, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we need to adjourn our Montgomery Toll Road Authority and reconvene our Commissioners' Court meeting. Now, Doty.
Gentlemen, the county judge's office had asked Curtis Fitzgerald and I to look into a new no smoking policy that would also take into account the vapor smoking and e-cigarettes and such as that. So what I'm asking is that you consider and approve the adoption of 3.10 smoking policy revision to the Montgomery County Employee Policy Manual as recommended by HR.
Second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. Also, please consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Now, we have an opportunity now for citizens to address the court on items that were not on today's agenda. Simon, I know you had your hand up a while ago. Mr. Cicada.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to you guys this morning. My name is Simon Cicada. I'm the owner and president of Quadvest Water Company. Quadvest is the third largest water provider in Montgomery County. I'm also one of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit against Lone Star alleging a takings of private property. A few weeks ago, two representatives from Lone Star Groundwater spoke to the court about an alleged water crisis in Montgomery County. While we disagree with Lone Star's mischaracterization of the aquifer, we do agree with some of the comments Lone Star made. I agree with Dr. Mulliken when he said there is 180 million acre-feet of water underneath Montgomery County. So just to put this in perspective, all of the surface water lakes in Texas combined equals 35 million acre-feet. So right here underneath Montgomery County, we have five times the amount of water than all of the surface water lakes in Texas combined. It's a lot of water. Groundwater is private property in Texas, and Mulliken said that we, the government, don't think the people should be allowed to drill deeper wells and lower their pumps and motors in the aquifer. So the government here in Montgomery County is saying we have decided to condemn all of the water and all the surface water lakes in Texas combined times five. We just don't think the government gets to make that call. Government is private property in Texas. With 100 years of legal precedent from the Texas Supreme Court and in the most recent landmark case, which is Edwards Aquifer versus Day, the Supreme Court said, and I quote, "We decide in this case whether land ownership includes an interest in groundwater in place that cannot be taken for public use without adequate compensation guaranteed by Article 1, Section 17A of the Texas Constitution. We hold that it does. The Texas Supreme Court has ruled that groundwater is private property. The Supreme Court went on to say, in our state, the landowner is regarded as having absolute title and severability to all the oil and gas in place beneath his land. The only qualification is that rule of ownership is that it must be considered in connection with the law of capture and is subject to police regulations. Each owner of land owns separately, distinctly, and exclusively all the oil and gas underneath his property and is accorded the usual remedies against trespassers who appropriate the minerals or destroy their market value. We now hold that this correctly states the common law regarding the ownership of groundwater in place. The Texas Supreme Court is saying that it will treat groundwater just like oil and gas. And this is important. The reason it's important is because Lone Star and its supporters believe that groundwater is the property of the state. No one today would ever seriously say that oil and gas is the property of the state. But that's exactly what groundwater they're saying about groundwater.
So, Katie, your 3 minutes has expired.
So, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Just for informational purposes, we've invited the Texas Water Board to come to a workshop. We're trying to get, Jim, do we have a date yet set on that?
We've got that set for March 26th.
March 26th. So, not March, May 26th.
Or April 26th.
April 26th. They are coming in April?
We're putting out the invitations. We have that scheduled. We haven't put notice out yet. We're trying to see if they're...
Okay, so we're trying to do a workshop after court on April 26th. So a lot of those kind of questions could be answered at that time. So I appreciate your comments.
Would we be invited to that?
It'll be open for the public.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Commissioners, that's the end of our agenda. Are there any other items that you'd like to discuss?
Judge, I just had one comment. Several department heads and elected officials, commissioners, there are a lot of changes regarding salaries and moving monies around. And when the monies are available in the budget, they're not asking for new money, not asking for anything other than the ability to move. I think we should just go ahead and put that on the consent agenda. If somebody wants to pull it and ask a question, they can, but it'd certainly speed things up. There's no need to read all that in open court.
It's fine with me.
I agree with that.
Yep. Any reason, Amy, we shouldn't do that? Okay, great. Good idea.
All I have.
Good idea. Okay. Good. With that, we are adjourned.